Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to LIC's H1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have senior management of LIC, led by Mr. R. Doraiswamy, CEO and MD on this call. I now hand the conference over to Mr. R. Doraiswamy, CEO and MD LIC. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I am Doraiswamy, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director of LIC. I would like to welcome all of you to the half-yearly results call of the financial year 2025-26. Our results declared today have been uploaded along with the press release and the investor presentation on our website as well as the websites of both the exchanges, BSE and NSE. Along with me on this call, I have three managing directors, Shri Satpal Bhanu, Shri Dinesh Pant and Shri Ratnakar Patnaik. Senior officials of the corporation present on this call are Shri Ajay Kumar Srivastav, Appointed Actuary and Executive Director Actuarial from the Actuarial team, Shri Sunil Agarwal, CFO from the Finance team, Shri R. Chandar, Executive Director of Investment Front Office and Chief Investment Officer, Shri Sanjay Kumar Srivastav, Executive Director of Investment Back Office from the Investment team. From the Marketing team, we have Shri Govind Agarwal, Executive Director of Marketing Product Development, Mr. Hemant Bhuj, Executive Director in charge of Marketing through Bancassurance and Alternate Channel, Shri K. Seshagiridhar, Executive Director of Pension and Group Schemes. Also, we have Ms. Vandana Sinha, Executive Director, Customer Relation Management, Claims and Annuities, and Shri Sanjay Bajaj, Head Investor Relations on this call. Let me take you through the key business, operational and financial highlights for the half year ended 30th September 2025. Our market share by first year premium income for the 6 months ending 30th September 2025 is 59.41% as compared to 61.07% for the similar period ended 30th September 2024. We continue to maintain our leadership in both individual as well as group business within the Indian life insurance industry. Now, if you bifurcate this overall market share of 59.41% into segment-wise share of individual and group business, we would have a market share of 37.21% in the individual business and 72.74% in the group business for the 6 months ending September 30, 2025. On a comparable basis, for the 6 months ending September 30, 2024, the respective market shares for individual and group business were 39.79% and 74.77% respectively. For the 6 months ended 30th September 2025, we have reported a total premium income of 2,45,684 rupees as compared to a total premium income of 2,33,671 crores for the 6 months ended 30th September 2024, registering a growth of 5.14% on a year-on-year basis. The individual new business premium income for 6 months ended September 30, 25 was 28,491 crore rupees and for the corresponding period last year, it was 29,538 crore, thereby registering a drop of 3.54% on year-on-year basis. Renewal premium income of individual business for 6 months ended September 30 was 1,22,224 crore rupees as compared to 1,15,158 crore rupees for the same period ended 30th September 2024. Therefore, for 6 months ended September 30th, 2025, our total individual premium income, including renewals, was 1,15,715 crore rupees as compared to 1,44,696 crore rupees for 6 months ended 30th September 2024, registering a growth of 4.16% on an year-on-year basis. The group's business total premium income for 6 months ended 30th September 2025 was 94,965 crore rupees, comprising new business premium of 92,586 crore rupees. In comparison, for 6 months ended 30th September 2024 last year, the group business total premium income was 88,975 crore rupees and comprised new business premium of 86,056 crore rupees. Therefore, for the 6 months ending 30th September 2025, the total group premium has increased by 6.73% as compared to similar period of previous year. The total annualized premium equivalent for 6 months ended September 30th, 2025 is 29,034 crore rupees, which is comprised of individual APE of 17,170 crore rupees and group APE of 11,864 crore rupees. Therefore, on an APE basis, the individual business accounts for 59.14% and the group business accounts for 40.86%. Further, of the individual APE, the participating business accounts for 10,936 crore rupees and non-par amounts to 6,234 crore rupees. Therefore, our non-par share of individual APE is 36.31% and par is 63.69% for the 6 months ended 30th September 2025. As you may recall, for 6 months ended 30th September 2024, our non-par share of total individual business based on APE stood at 26.31%. Since then, our non-par APE has increased from 4,778 crore rupees to 6,234 crore rupees, reflecting an increase of 30.47% on a year-on-year basis. During multiple queries post our June 2025 quarter results regarding the upper limit where non-par share may peak, we have suggested that we have enough wind behind our sails and the momentum has been built in favor of non-par product mix change. The individual non-par APE share mix at 36.31% is a testimony to the momentum we mentioned earlier. The profit after tax for the 6 months ended 30th September 2025 was 21,040 crore rupees as compared to 18,082 crore rupees for the 6 months ended September 30th, 2024, thereby registering a growth of 16.36% on a year-on-year basis. The net VNB has registered a growth of 12.3% on a year-on-year basis to 5,111 crore rupees for the 6 months ended September 30th, 2025, from 4,551 crore rupees for the 6 months ended September 30th, 2024. Further, the net VNB margin has improved by 140 basis points on a year-on-year basis to 17.6% for the 6 months ended 30th September 2025 from 16.2% for the 6 months ended September 30th, 2024. The solvency ratio as on September 30th, 2025 improved to 2.13 as against 1.98 on September 30, 2024. The Indian embedded value as on September 30, 2025 has been determined at 8,13,230 crore rupees as compared to 8,21,716 crore as on September 30, 2024. Therefore, the IEV has registered a decrease of 1.03% on year-on-year basis. However, you will recall that the IEV was 7,76,876 crore rupees as on March 31, 2025. Therefore, the IEV has improved by 4.68% between 31st March 2025 and September 30, 2025. The asset under management as on September 30, 2025 was 57,22,896 crore rupees as compared to 55,39,516 crore rupees as on September 30, 2024. Therefore, our AUM has registered a growth of 3.31% on year-on-year basis. During the first 6 months of period of FY 2026, we have launched two new non-par products on July 4, 2025, namely LIC's New Jeevan Shri and LIC's Nav Jeevan Shri Single Premium. During the July 25 to September 25 quarter, we introduced two new riders also. As of September 30, 2025, we had a comprehensive view of 55 products excluding Pradhan Mantri Jeevan Jyoti Bima Yojana available for new business, including 35 individual products, 12 group products, 7 individual riders and 1 group rider. Post the GST exemption announced in September 2025, LIC has launched 2 new non-par products on October 15, 2025. These products are called LIC's Jan Suraksha and LIC's Bima Lakshmi. Therefore, as on date, we offer a total of 57 products, which include 37 individual products, 12 group products, 7 individual riders and 1 group rider. During the 6 months ended September 30, 2025, we sold 72,60,573 new policies as compared to 91,70,420 new policies in 6 months ended September 30, 2024. As of September 30, 2025, the total number of agents was 1,485,325 as compared to 1,439,658 as on September 30, 2024. The market share by number of agents as on 30th September 2025 stands at 45.86% as against 47.56% on September 30, 2024. On the number of policies sold basis, the agency force sold 71,44,242 policies during the 6 months ended September 30, 2025 as compared to 89,21,078 policies during the corresponding period last year. Further, 98.4% of our policies in the 6 months ended September 30, 2025 are sold by our agents. When seen on premium basis, 92.13% of our new business premium came from our agency channel in the first 6 months of the current financial year. There is a strong growth in new business premium income from our bank assurance and alternate channels. Bank assurance and alternate channels collected a new business premium income of 2,024.10 crore rupees for the 6 months ended September 30, 2025 as compared to 1,207.54 crore rupees for the 6 months ended September 30, 2024, thus registering a growth of 67.62% on a year-on-year basis. The new business premium income collected through banks was 1,265.88 crore rupees for the 6 months ended 30th September 2025 and for the corresponding period of last year, it was 854.23 crore rupees, thereby registering a growth of 48.19% on a year-on-year basis. Further, the alternate channel collected new business premium income of 758.22 crore rupees for the 6 months ended September 30th, 2025 as compared to 353.31 crore rupees for the 6 months ended September 30th, 2024, registering a growth of 114.60% on a year-on-year basis. Our bank assurance and alternate channels now account for 7.12% of the individual new business premium for the 6 months ended September 30, 2025, up from 4.1% for the 6 months ended September 30, 2024. For the 6 months ended September 30, 2025, the overall expense ratio was 11.28% as compared to 12.74% for the first 6 months of last year. You will observe that there is a decrease of 146 basis points on a year-on-year basis. Persistency. On premium basis, the persistency for the 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month up to 6 months ended 30th September 2025 stands at 75.29%, 71.37%, 67.70%, 63.70% and 63.81% respectively as compared to 77.62%, 72.24%, 67.24%, 66.33% and 61.46% respectively up to the 6 months ended 30th September 2024. On number of policies basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month up to the 6 months ended 30th September 2025 stands at 63.36%, 60.23%, 55.18%, 50.67% and 51.50% respectively as compared to 67.23%, 59.73%, 54.06%, 53.84% and 48.92% respectively up to the 6 months ended September 30, 2024. The performance on persistency metrics has been a mixed bag with an improvement in the 37th and 61st month cohorts on premium basis and improvement in 25th, 37th and 61st month on a number of policy basis. In our digital initiative through the agent-assisted Ananda app, we have completed 878,470 policies through this app during 6 months ended September 30, 2025 as compared to 723,281 policies for the 6 months ended September 30, 2024, thereby registering a growth of 21.46% on a year-on-year basis. There is a growth of 40.07% in number of active agents in Ananda app for the 6 months ended September 30, 2025. The Digital Innovation Value Enhancement Project and the Jeevan Samarth Initiative are progressing as planned and are in various stages of implementation. In the last earnings call, I had informed you that Customer Super App and Sales of the App were undergoing testing and launches in select geographies and it will be rolled out on a pan-India basis soon. I am happy to inform you that both the apps have been made live in the month of August, September 2025. claims. On the individual claims front, during the 6 months ended September 30, 2025, we have processed 96,44,280 number of claims, which includes 92,34,314 maturity and survival benefit claims. On an amount basis, during the first 6 months ended September 30, 2025, the total maturity claims were 1,07,587 crore rupees and the total death claims were 12,049 crore rupees. On a comparable basis for the first 6 months ended September 30, 2024, the maturity claims were 94,531 crore rupees and death claims were 11,645 crore rupees. Therefore, the maturity claims are higher by 13.81% and the death claims are higher by 3.47% on a year-on-year basis. As of September 30, 2025, a total of 2.57 lakh women have been designated as Bima Sakhis, successfully selling 8.54 lakh insurance policies and garnering a new business premium income of 1,096 crore rupees in 6 month period ended September 30, 2025. Our objective is to appoint at least one Bima Sakhi in every Gram Panchayat, and we would like to inform that out of 2,47,876 Gram Panchayats, we have covered 44% Gram Panchayats by recruiting Bima Sakhis in 1,08,748 Gram Panchayats up to September 30, 2025. Before concluding, I would like to reiterate significant highlights of our performance during the first 6 months of FY 2025-26. Our NARPA share of individual APE business has further grown to 36.31% for H1 FY26 as compared to 26.31% for the same period of the previous year. The profit after tax has grown by 16.36% to 21,040 crore on a year-on-year basis. Bank assurance and alternate channels registered a growth of 67.62% on a year-on-year basis to 2,024.10 crore. VNB has increased by 12.3% on a year-on-year basis for the first 6 months of the FY26. VNB margin has shown a positive bias with a 140 basis points increase to 17.6% for H1 FY26. AUM has increased to 57.23 lakh crore rupees, registering a growth of 3.31% on a year-on-year basis. While maintaining growth in multiple parameters, we have kept a focus on costs, and as you can see, the overall expense ratio is down by 146 basis points to 11.28% in H1 FY26. Now I would like to share our view on the most significant development for the Indian life insurance industry, which is the exemption of goods and service tax on the life insurance products by the Government of India. We believe this move is customer friendly and will provide a major boost to the further penetration due to better affordability and therefore expand the size of the life insurance industry in India. We are already witnessing strong tailwinds due to these steps taken by the government and believe that the full impact will be seen in the coming quarters. At LIC, we are committed to passing on all intended benefits to the customers. We are confident that we will be able to accelerate our efforts towards insurance for all by 2047 with such customer-friendly initiatives. We sincerely thank our stakeholders for their consistent support and faith in our strategy and its implementation. I now request the moderator of this call to open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use headsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of M.W. Kim from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on the strong result. I have two questions. So firstly, I noticed that the ULIP is becoming an increasingly important part of the new life phase. So looking ahead, should we expect that the share of the ULIP to grow meaningfully from current level, similar to the private players? And another question is about the solvency capital. The company has a very strong solvency ratio of 213% as of September 25. I would like to understand the company's solvency ratio under the risk-based capital regime. I ask because the company's liability reserve stock has differed somewhat from the privateers, and I have observed that overall, the adjusted net worth movement within the EV appears relatively substantial. Additionally, while the company is a major asset manager in India, the current solvency capital framework does not really reflect this equity-related aspect. So this is two questions for me.
Thanks for the greetings, sir. As you told, ULIP is slowly becoming more prominent in the entire insurance, life insurance industry in India, and LIC has also been catching up on the sale of ULIPs. And it has recorded the highest growth among the various classes of life insurance in the last quarter and the first half of the year. We are recording a more than 100% growth on ULIPs as on date. On the solvency margin part, I would request my appointed actuary to give the full details.
Good evening, I am Ajay Kumar Srivastava, appointed actuary and DD actuary. Now the question is about RBC calculation of solvency margin in RBC regime and the current regime. We have actually submitted QIS 1 and QIS 2 to IRDA. When we have submitted the results, we are still in discussion with them on several the issues, and we are constantly engaged with them. Now, the ultimate solvency ratio based on the final QIS regime will depend upon the outcome of those things which we are discussing with the regulator. So, at this stage, I think the numbers are quite dynamic and susceptible to change. So, for the time being, we will not be able to connect anything on what is the impact on that unless things are finalized by IRDA.
That's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Herschel Mehta from AM Security. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. And congrats on both set of numbers. My second couple of questions. Yeah. So a couple of questions. First is on the NOP. So if you can just explain, like NOP, there's been a very sharp drop, both on a totality and as well as in terms of bank and market general. So what are our steps, to improve the NOP we're going ahead? That was first. Secondly, EV has been broadly flat on a YoY basis, but within EV, A&W and VF, there is a lot of discrepancy in terms of growth and one is degrowth. So you can explain why there is such a sharp, variation between both of them. That would be helpful. And lastly, in terms of margins, so we have seen a very sharp increase in margins for the first half and as well as Q2. So when you see the product mix, you see a very sharp increase in non-par, and that is led by ULIP. So is it fair to assume your ULIP margins are higher than the company level? So those are my three questions.
First, I will take the NOP question. Actually, you remember on 1st of October 2024, the new master circular came into effect. And to get aligned with the master circular conditions, we had to completely modify almost all the products that were available on sale as on 30th September. So, as a part of becoming compliant with the circular, we had to raise the minimum sum assured under the most popular products on the savings category of LIC. That resulted in a sharp fall in the number of policies sold, particularly in the ticket sizes between 1 lakh and 1,99,999. So that resulted in a degrowth in the number of policies sold in the last second half of the year, and that continued in the first half because the comparison was with the earlier regime. Also, because the planned withdrawals are announced, the September month of 2024 saw a big surge in the number of policies sold to catch up before the old policies went out of sales. So we are comparing on a large base. First point. Second, on September 1st, Government of India came up with the reform to the GST structure in India. And the GST exemption for life insurance business was announced with effect on 22nd September. So between these 2 days, there was almost a complete stop of purchase of policies on the individual side, and people were looking forward to getting the exemption from GST. So the business during that almost 15-day window suffered a major
fall, and that could not get compensated in the last 8 days of the current September month. So that was the reason for the number of policy degrowth in the first half of the current year. However, from 1st October, the scenario has completely changed, and we are having a very good traction and showing a substantial growth in the number of policies sold. And we are very confident by the end of the current financial year, we will be able to completely catch up and show a good performance on the number of policies as well. On the EV part and the margins, I request Apar Rajendra to give us clarity on that.
So we have a basket of products to cater to the need of the policyholders. And you would appreciate that all these products, based on whether they are in par or non-par, the savings term, they have different margins. And what is important for us is to also look for the VNB being contributed by each of these segments. So the growth in ULIP actually contributes to the VNB, which is equally important for us because that is what is the preference of customers. So those products are actually chosen by them. So what we actually look for is not one particular metric like VNB margin, but we look concentrate on the products which actually meet the needs of the customers and keep on modifying them based on their change in their needs. So that ultimately results in some number based on VNB or the VNB margin. But the fact remains that it may not be completely fair to just talk about the VNB margin of one particular line of business, which may be less or more. But the contribution for each line of business is for VNB, which is important for the corporation. Thank you.
Easy talk about the corporation.
See, as far as the EV embedded value you mentioned about, you will appreciate there are different components of embedded value coming from core business as well as value change as well as CLW. And while we are not talking about individual specific numbers and we are not discussing, but there is an improvement, a significant improvement in our core business contribution. We all appreciate that between the comparable periods, the markets have actually been, tepid. So a significant portion comes from the fair value change also. What is appreciable is that this was not trending all those things. From March to September numbers, the embedded value has significantly improved, largely backed by the improvement in the core business component of the corporation. So that is one thing. And margin increase, as we talked about, ULIP is one part of our overall strategy. And within the overall product mix, the contribution to the new business has largely come, as was earlier mentioned about, because of better proportion of non-par business, which is not only about ULIP, but also saving products, where the new business margins are significantly improved. And also, EV margins are held by the improved IFR rates during this period, so that is also so largely because of the better contribution coming from the product mix from the saving line of business, including from ULIP also. But as you will appreciate, the larger contribution, ULIP is not a significant driver for VNB margin. It is a good driver for one in the context, as was said earlier, but the discussion of customer needs, markets needs it, and it is aligned to the customer needs for the overall AP growth also. But the other lines of businesses give better margins. So it is a proper mix and balance of different products within this segment, which has contributed to overall increase in VNB margins and also improved the embedded value as compared to the margin. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And all the best. Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. On the previous particular question, your existing net worth from, H1 FY25 to H1 FY26 has jumped, while your value in force business has gone down. What explains this difference movement in both the elements?
So And then lastly, you know, as has already been explained, the variation is mostly coming because of MTM contribution. If you look at the core business, as has already been explained, the contribution from the core business has already gone up. So if you look at this adjusted net worth has gone up, but value of in-force business, that has some constituents in which other constituents are almost similarly to that, which is flat. MTM, there is some impact, and that is like the margin in itself.
Actually, present value of future profit and VF as compared to March has only improved. It has not gone down. The present value of the VF portion as compared to March has improved in September.
It has come down from where?
Yes. But MTM cell, you know, means that it's
okay, MTM is the main factor contributing to
bottom.
Yes.
And with the surplus transference to the shareholder portion, the adjusted net worth has always been going upwards.
Okay. Got it. Second question is on persistency. I see that there is some drop in persistency on the near period. What explains that?
As I told you, we had a large quantum of low ticket size policies. See, we cater to all the segments of the society and we cover the entire geographical spread of the country. So, we experienced a lower persistency at small ticket size policies, particularly because of the variation in seasonal income of people who take policies under this card. So this will be the reason for the drop in persistency, both in number of policies as well. But you will find that in terms of premium, our persistency is better than the persistency in terms of number of policies. This has been the case always. But with the improvement in the minimum ticket size, or the minimum sum assured, and the average ticket size going up, we are very hopeful, we are very confident that the persistency going forward will improve. It will be much better in the days to come. When higher ticket size policy sale or the change in minimum sum assured happened on 1st October, and the effect of it will be seen only in the months to come, because they will be completing the 13th month, only from the next month onwards.
And just as a corollary to what was being discussed earlier, while the markets have, you know, the fair value change portion has, as on September 25, remains even below September 24 as well as March 25, but for the period from March to September, that fall has been more than made good by the improvement in the present value of future profits. So that has resulted into, you know, the VIF from March to become positive in September 25, even as it is below September 24 level, because the difference, the fall as compared to September 25 is very sharp, which has been, you know, which has improved from March and then now it's greater than that. So, the position, that's the reason that the embedded value, overall embedded value has improved as compared to March, because the core business has more than compensated for the loss in the fair value change.
Okay. So the third question is on the GST rate, GST input tax credit not being available. How are you kind of, what is the kind of impact that you would expect on embedded value as well as VNB margin in the time to come, and any impact that you've already absorbed in the EV and VNB, and third will be on how are you kind of going to offset, whether you're passing on the impact to the agents, or how are you going about this?
So the numbers which have been actually provided, the different metrics, the VNB margin, embedded value, solvency ratio, etc., they all have been considered after the GST impact, the impact of ICC. So the numbers have already taken account of GST reforms. But going forward, what we look for is, the increase in the volume of business, and also the operational efficiency, we have been looking into that, because ICC actually is one of the expense items, and we are looking together with the cost optimization
And you would see that as a result of that, the expense ratio has actually come down from 12.7% to 11.3%. This is in addition to the proactive measures we have taken in the last year when the product regulation has come up, where we have retained actually the profitable products, the margins, and the backloaded the commission, etc., which improves the persistency. So all these measures actually have resulted into the numbers which have been provided to you today. As you were asking particularly about the embedded value numbers we have already disclosed. That was in LODR 0.5%, and the impact of that is within that. And going forward, the numbers will depend upon the VNB margin, etc., will depend upon the mix and volume which is going to come up. So that, in fact, we can see at the time of the embedded value in the month of March, and we can be looking to the walk.
Just in order to supplement that, as is already stated in the statement of TO also, see, we are looking at this GST, which is an individual line of businesses, in order to, see them as an opportunity for the growth. And what we want is that, in line of the policy changes which have happened, that the policyholder should benefit out of it, the distributor should benefit out of it, insurance should, company should benefit out of the higher production, and working towards higher market insurance penetration level. So the entire effort of the corporation, as we already come out and disclose also, is at this point of time, take this opportunity for growth of the business, and that growth of the business by, improvement in per policy expenses or other, ways, should lead into the control of the expenses so that it becomes a win-win proposition for insurer as well as the customer without much, any impact on the distribution. But as an insurance company, we continue to analyze our experiences and continue to take decisions based on the outcomes that emerge. At this point of time, we are confident that they should lead, and that's those type of outcomes are already started to be seen. In which the business growth, which is the prime focus area for us as insurance company, as a lead insurance company. So we are working towards that goal only.
Any number you want to quantify with respect to if there are without any adjustments or without any changes to operational efficiencies, what could be the impact on the VNB margin for us in case you are not passing on the GST input tax credit also, as well as
it is fair for us to, just see one side of it from expense point of view, because, see, when the expenses naturally will get impacted, but on the other side, the GST waiver should lead to growth. And that growth in business shall also impact the expenses on a favorable way. So it will not be actually, correct to see just one side of the picture and not take the overall, the overall scenario out of it. So, as was already explained by Pandit actually, at this point of time, the impact is well within what we have gone in disclosures in terms of the impact of the embedded value, much below that thing. And we are sanguine that with more effort and the more propagation of this benefit to the customers, the growth in business and the quality of the business should lead into, insignificant or actually, cutting down the any impact that would.
Okay, thank you, sir. It's all the best.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Sanket Godha from Avidus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question again is on a little similar lines. So given only 8 days of the business today, GST negative impact, and second half full will be with GST negative impact. So are you confident to deliver same, at least similar gain the margin, that is 17.6, what you have reported for the first half? Or you believe even if the volumes come, will there be some bit of derating to the margin compared to what we have delivered today? That's one thing. Maybe to answer that question, then I have two other questions.
Sanket, you would have observed that the trend of our VNB margin has always been upward from Q1, Q2, Q3 to Q4 onwards, right? And So it's very heartening that not selling at the, you know, despite of all these things, because on the strength of the better product mix and all those things, we have been able to deliver VNB margin, which was actually in the Q4 of the last year. Rest assured, corporation does everything which it is confident about, and we are committed to create value for our shareholders as well as policyholders. So we are quite confident that this trajectory in medium to long term should continue in line with our original
Given we have an improving trajectory every quarter passing by, so is it fair to say that still you will end up FY26 with a margin better than what you reported in 1H? Is that the fair assessment to make?
That is always our intention. Nobody can predict the future, but it can be better than this also. But we all know, you know, this, for example, this policy change came to us as a surprise. It was not something which was on cards. And the government has been very kind, you know, to take this step. In order to give the, you know, fillip to the growth of this industry. So, at the end of it, it will depend on the execution. We are very confident that, whatever we have set up goals for us, we have been achieving and overachieving, on them. So we see no reason that there should be anything, unless there is some force measure or something like that, anything else should happen. We are very confident about this onward trajectory, to continue.
Okay, understood, sir. So the second question is, your non-par largely led by you answered that question, but just wanted to understand that, making a simple assessment, straight yes or no, that unit margins are better than the company average, that's largely the reason why the margins improved, or your group did very well, and maybe if that was driven by group annuity and that was the trigger which led to the margin improvement, because the product mix looks little, in general is perceived to be a low margin product compared to PAR. So just wanted to understand, it's largely unit led or more led by group?
Sanket, on that, you know, it is not only just line of businesses which decides the overall margin. Within every line of businesses also, we keep on taking steps to realign the margins as well as the benefit of the policy. For example, say annuities, which used to give very high margins, their margins came down, then the steps have been taken even to align again the margins with that. So it is not, we are saying just unit versus a line of businesses. Every line of business has got a different purpose. As we mentioned earlier also, the primary focus for us as an insurer is to be able to provide, you know, it's just not that because VNB margins are less in ULIP. So we all know that ULIP do not deliver great on margins. You know, selling products at times will deliver better than them on the margins, right? But then the product offering is not just based on margins only, it is also in fact more for what customers need. So the art lies in art or science, whatever you want to call it, lies in how to balance the product mix in a manner so that customer needs are satisfied and other stakeholders' interests are also well protected. So ULIP, there was a time we were being questioned, being laggard on ULIP, and now we have taken, you know, good growth in ULIP. So, and because customers are choosing to buy ULIP. So that will continue to be our focus. But we continue to create value through, we offer, you will see, ULIP will be significant, but savings have got a, you know, significant portion in overall mix. So that creates good VNB margins for us. So we'll continue to work on a balance of product mix. And continue to take decisions within the line of businesses also to strike the right balance of VNB and the growth.
Okay, sir. Understood. So, but sir, just at product level, given you are saying that we are focusing on higher sum assured and maybe the yield curve also became favorable for the sector. So at the product level also, are we experiencing in general a better margin profile compared to last year, and that can be a potential reason also to continue to drive the margin?
Yes, definitely if our margins are improved, then definitely some of the products would be able to deliver better margins than before. Because margin is not product based. Again, within the product itself, when the ticket size improves, margin is likely to improve.
Yeah.
Right. So, and you would have observed that last year, we took the decision in certain line of businesses, the minimum ticket size was improved. So the entire purpose of that is that to improve the quality of business margins as well as, you know, persistency of those businesses, which will come to be seen from coming year onwards. So the product mix, the ticket size, and as you rightly mentioned about, the impact of RFR also has got a role to play in that from time to time.
Are you quantifying, typically used to quantify, are you quantifying the group margin and individual business margin separately in that 17.6?
I don't think we are giving it by that category.
Okay. Okay, you used to disclose previously, so just trying my luck again. Okay, lastly, sir, you said the EV impact due to GST is 0.5%, right, sir?
We disclosed in the public disclosures that we do not estimate it to be more than 0.5% of that. What we are confirming is, for the current valuation, when we have done for the embedded value, it is much less than that.
Yeah, and lastly, sir, in EV of 8.13 lakh crores, how much is fair value change?
Again, I think component-wise, we are not disclosing. Are we disclosing?
Yeah. Component-wise,
we are not disclosing.
But is it safe to say that 50% is of the total EV, closer to that number?
I don't think we disclose it that way. We have to see that value, in totality. I would not see no reason why we should want to see it from different components, because even if fair value changes come, it is coming out of the business only. So we are...
Understood. That's it for me. Thank you for my question.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Madhukar Lada from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. See, most of my questions have been answered, but just again, on the GST impact, I wanted to understand on the next 6 months, which is the second half of the year, what would be the margin impact because of ITC not being available. We can make some assumption in terms of, the product mix remaining constant. So some sense of there would be helpful. So that's one. Or even in this current 17.6%, you had the GST impact for the last 10 days, right? So what is the impact in the VNB margin of that also, if you could give that number? And third, what are we doing in terms of reducing this? Are we changing commission payout structures or reducing commission? Because that would again be a pretty large component of the ITC also. So yeah, if you could help me with these three questions, thanks.
As we have already discussed, next 6 months, the mix and business is very difficult to guess at this stage. Because within that particular product has already been informed that the ticket size, if it goes up, the margins could be different. If the a particular line of business, if more business is there, then the contribution is towards margin will be more or less. So standing at this stage, assessing all the, because ITC is only one of the components of the entire thing which actually impacts the margin. So we need to actually look at the entirety, how the margins are going to move going forward at the end of the year. But once we go at the end of the year, as I said, we can actually look at the impact on the embedded value when we actually also present the embedded value work.
So, okay, but historically at least we could say, right, that if, let's say, ITC was not available in the first half of this year, then what would the impact be on the margin?
See, one thing we need to note that, what was made out on 8 days issue of ITC, that was from financial presentation point of view. On an actual exercise, once information gets known to us, it is already factored in our assumptions. Rest assured, when we are doing VNB analysis, even for the business which has been done, we are aware that this is not available for the future period. So that is recalculated. It's not that it is on a stagnant basis, that only for 8 days new business it is taken care of. So that is the type of confidence that we are trying to give you, is that, you know, all those assessments have been already factored. This is what happened, like you already was mentioning, have already been factored. Now, beyond this, it's not that we are not, you know, we have a lot of, you know, experience that what type of business is going to happen in future years, what is our focus area. We expect that what we, that's the basis which we only explain to you, that we are, you know, saying that this trajectory, we expect to continue for the future period also.
Supplement, Mr. Lada, actually, margin improvement is possible with so many other changes as well. We are looking at one, the increase in top line of business because of the reduction in the exemption from GST itself, that is one. Two, the product mix cannot remain constant because we will be coming up with new products as well, and the product focus also will change. So our focus will be on increasing the top line substantially in the second half, one, to take care of the impact of the tax credit not being there, plus also improving the profitability by focusing on improved ticket size as well as contribution from product line also. So we are certainly not looking at anything passing on the commission or changing the commission structure right now, but we'll be looking at increasing the ticket size and the contribution from the existing business as well as the products to be launched in the days to come.
Understood. So, and again, you know, it'll be very helpful if you can give the mark-to-market impact in the EV. So, of the total EV, how much is mark-to-market, if you could give that number for, you know, the first half and for FY25, that is also helpful. I mean, you know, yeah.
We'll give that number. We'll work it out because we have not been disclosing this thing. So I think you can work it out from our financials if that's the case. But we have not been disclosing. But
okay.
For the sensitivities we are disclosing, so possibly you can look into the sensitivity numbers on sensitivity impact of, you know, fall and rise in equity is being disclosed in our, you know,
IVM. Understood. Okay. Thank you.
So you can.
Thank you,
sir. We'll see whether we can share this information, because as of now we have not been sharing this thing. But the sensitivities are very much available in the, they are in the public domain. So I think that can end from there. You can visit us.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Mohit Mangal from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is with respect to agency channel. So if I was, you know, looking at your agents as on 4th April and 30th September, you know, it is kind of very flattish. So are we becoming more aggressive with respect to agents in terms of division from the company?
This is Govind Agarwal, ED Marketing. Currently, we have 14,85,000 agents, and last year it was 1439, so there is a net increase. And you will also see that this agency share is quite volatile in the market, because people take agency and they take time to stabilize. So that flattishness is always there, there is no huge jump. Even if we go for heavy recruitment, then again it will have an impact after 12 months. So, we are focusing on stabilizing our agents and better productivity rather than low quality recruitment. So, that is how you see there will be growth in this number as compared to last year, September 2024.
Okay, and we do expect around what, 6 policies per agent, right, on an annual basis?
There are certain guidelines for continuation of agency, like 6 policy, 12% premium basis also. So, on an average, this maybe may not be in line with the industry, because only number of policies cannot be a parameter alone. So,
I would like to supplement. Last year, the average productivity for agent was around 12 policies. So,
okay.
We are trying to improve the productivity, retain the agent, train them, so that they are having a good career with us. So average productivity we are trying to increase by instead of training and motivating them.
Right, that is helpful. The second question is towards the individual MVP. So we have seen a 67% increase in individual MVP, you know, driven by bank assurance and alternate channels. So just wanted to confirm, you know, IDBI Bank is again, you know, the major driver for this growth.
Greetings, this is Hemant Guth, Executive Director of Ventures. Our IDBI continues to be the leader, but the considerable growth has come both from SB as well as the IDFC side. And as also get made available earlier, we are in fact forging new tires, and that keeps on continue delivering value for us. So one of value creation has been in fact in form of forging a tire with AU Small Finance Bank. So this will continue. Yes.
Understood. That is helpful. The last question, sir, in terms of annuity, I again understand it's a small base, but we have seen a decline. So do you have any particular strategy for growth in the annuity business?
We will be focusing on increasing annuity business as well. Yes, in between it has taken a reduction in terms of volumes, but we expect it to come back. The focus was on units also, as we are not doing well in units. So now we have shown a substantial increase in the number of policies sold and renewals as a basket. We will also be focusing on annuities as well as savings. Both we'll be looking at.
Okay, so would you be launching newer products or maybe favorable IRRs? I mean, what would be our strategy in that?
For annuity market, you don't have to launch any new products. The products needs to have a focus on that aspect. I'm sure it happened, but there'll be new products coming in different baskets. Yes.
Okay. Understood. That is helpful. Thanks and wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are moving forward to the last question from Dipanja Ghosh from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. So just a few questions from my side. First, in terms of your balance sheet, you know, annually we get the breakup of your fair value change between par and non-par. Obviously, first half we don't get the overall balance sheet. So if you can just break it up, if I recall correctly, from your par segment, the fair value change was around 3.9 trillion in as of March. So if you can just break that up. My second question is on your VNB margin work. If I see, you know, for the first quarter on a rolling basis, you had a 1.9% positive operating assumption change, and as of first half, it's a minus 1.1. So would it be fair to assume a majority of this change between 1Q to 1H on a rolling basis is actually the impact of GST not being there, or is there any other component also? My third question is more on the accounting part. If I recall correctly, since the listing, you made one accounting change whereby any mark-to-market change on your ASM is being routed through the network. Now, this is, you know, pertaining to some of the questions asked from your previous participants also in terms of the EV between fair value and non-fair value. Is there a possibility or something that you're considering of, you know, some of the excess fair value on the equity side on the non-par book or the ASM part, if that can be parked within the network, or can be routed through the network? I mean, is there any possibility of any accounting change, or is that even feasible out there? And the last question is on the growth part. Obviously, you have done a good job in terms of business mix realignment. Just wanted to understand at what stage would you feel that the mix is stabilizing and probably focusing on market share stabilization kind of picks up in your priority or taking order out there?
Yeah, as of now, as per our accounting policy, the realized, you know, portion through, you know, accounting, the profit and loss account is only transferred to the shareholder fund. Currently, we do not have any thought process that on accounting basis, unrealized portion could be transferred or would be transferred. That's not something we need to follow, and we'll continue to follow the best accounting practices that these are case here, because that can lead, you know, unrealized portion can be considered, it can lead to, and market is subject to volatility, so that's not the step at this point of time in any consideration for us, just to inflate the number. That's not the that's not the goal. What is the second question?
Parallel machines or non-parallel?
See, we are again not giving the breakup between par and non-par fair value change. But one thing has to be considered that it's not, the fair value change does not come about only through the equity. It also gets impacted on the debt portion based on the interest rate, you know, changes. So currently we are not giving that type of breakup. For far and line of business wise breakup is not being given.
VNB margin walk.
So VNB margin walk, which has been provided with the presentation, is that because of the business mix, the change is 3.4% positive contribution. Because of the IFR change, the impact is negative 1.1%. And 0.9% negative is on account of operating assumptions. That includes the impact of GST. So the margin has moved from 16.2% to 17.6% because of this component.
Correct. And the last question on the growth part.
Sorry, growth.
Sir, the last question was more on, you know, you have done a good job in terms of your PNB or product mix realignment. But at certain stage, would you kind of focus a little bit more on market share stabilization over business mix realignment? I mean, is that a thought that you're considering?
Yeah, actually, we are not taking a target business mix component, as I mentioned last time also. There is a traction, there is an improvement in APE, non-par APE, that has grown from 36.31 to 36.31 over a period of 1 year. We expect some more improvement to happen just because the momentum that has been built up in this direction over a period of 3 years. Though we are not targeting for any particular mix proportion, we expect some kind of an improvement on the basis of the momentum that has already been in place. Now, there is a possibility that we can even start showing a growth on all the parameters, all the buckets, including PAR, non-PAR savings, ULIPs, as well as annuities. So we will be looking at all the three. There are different segments. As things go, in Q3, we will see a fair amount of improvement in savings components, thanks to the focus on MDRT and other focus as well. It is likely to happen. We are not targeting a particular mix, that's for sure. We expect it to grow, improve a bit more further and stabilize that way. Again, though our focus will be exclusively on top line growth, not necessarily keeping in mind the market share. We would like the entire pie to grow and the LIC to show a good growth, if possible better than the industry growth. If that happens, naturally our market share will stabilize and improve. Otherwise also we have a target on growth rather than looking at the market share per se directly.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now end the conference over to Mr. Doraiswamy for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. First and foremost, I would like to thank for sparing your time to join the call late in the evening today. As we wrap up our discussion for the first half of FY26, I would like to express my gratitude to each of you for your ongoing trust, partnership and involvement with LIC. Your insightful queries reflect an in-depth understanding of our business and strategy. I hope we have addressed your queries to your satisfaction. In case you would need to engage more with us, please reach out to us through our Investor Relations team. Thank you very much and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of LIC, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.